The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, October 22nd, 2017. Broadcasting live from the studios at WGBB, 1240 AM and 95.9 FM here in West Babylon, New York. Gary Harding here with John Panarese and John Sweeney with you for the next 120 minutes. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, John and John. How are you guys doing today?
And what about Gary?
And what about, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, what about Gary?
Yeah, what about me, man?
I'm the third person.
Yeah, oh, okay. All right.
You know what? Because he's wearing this Josh Bailey jersey, which Josh is playing fantastic. I have to admit, that was one of the best goals. I just want to jump off the hockey real quick because you're wearing that thing. You're looking right at me. Josh Bailey with his 3 goals and 3 assists this year. I don't want to screw this up. That goal last night was one of the best goals I've seen a player have this year.
Agreed. And we'll talk.
It's been a long time.
We'll talk more about that later. But we got a lot to do. We got 2 guests coming on in the 9 o'clock hour. So if you do want to call in and talk anything with us, whether it's the World Series coming up, whether it's the Jets, Giants, the Islanders, the Rangers, what have you, the number here is 631-888-8811. Again, I'll give our Twitter handles real quick. At Hockey Blindside is John's. You are at AllyCat010, and I'm at GHardingWGBB if you want to get in touch with us on Twitter. But again, let's go through a little bit of the news of the day. Obviously, last night, Game 7, the American League Championship Series, unfortunately, you know, and it's one of those strange things that, you know, the Yankees had obviously all the momentum going into Houston for Game 6, but as sometimes it does happen in playoffs, the home team won every single game. And it's just amazing how everything flip-flopped in one way, shape, or form. But all three of us sitting in this studio here are diehard Met fans. We love our blue and orange like crazy. But I will say to all those Yankee fans that are listening out there, you guys got nothing to be ashamed of or disappointed of. Your team played outstanding. I mean, this was a team that when we talked in end of March, early April, we were wondering maybe they'll win 81 games. You know, maybe they'll have struggles with their bullpen. What are these guys, you know, after Sanchez had a great rookie season, what was he going to do for his second season? And Aaron Judge going to play a full year? What were they going to do? And, I mean, it's storybook. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's this core of these young kids, Judge, Sanchez, Bird, kind of reminds me of how when Gia and Posada and
Andy Pettit
and all these kids came up with I think they're going to have a good team for a long time.
This is a team that's going to be
together
up there for at least a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's
91 wins. Judge wins the MVP, Rookie of the Year. None of the Altuve's probably winning the MVP, but they are.
It's going to be close. Yeah. I really, you know, because you're going to have. There always seems to be when guys that vote for the MVP look for that, you know, that sexy big home run, you know.
Well, he basically carried the team when they were down and out in April, May. You know, when they were down, Judge was carrying that team for a while. He went in a little bit of slump. He came back. He started tearing. At the end of the season, he tore it up.
And it's funny when you look at the overall aspect of Major League Baseball this year. There were three teams that had separate runs in each third of the season that were crazy. The beginning of the season, it was the Astros.
Yeah,
they were winning like crazy. They had a 9-game lead like a month into the season, and you knew they were done. They were locked in. Then you get the middle of the year, you get the Dodgers that won 51-9 in a 60-game stretch, and then lost 14 of 15 after that, but still won 103 games. And then you get the Cleveland Indians that won 22 straight.
23, and then they won another run for like, what, they won 5 or 6 in a row?
Yeah, they won 27 out of 28.
They finished 102 wins or something like that.
It's crazy. And then you had the Yankees who were, at one point, early September, you thought they were done. They were slumping big time. Judge, obviously, post-All-Star game, had a horrible stretch, was batting about 160 maybe over a month and a half.
Striking out.
And then all of a sudden, you got one home run, boom, 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 15 of them in September. I mean, great. And, you know, Sanchez.
First rookie never do something like that.
And Sanchez, who, you know, everybody thought was going to be slumping, he had only, 32 home runs?
And just think if Bird would have played the whole season. Bird came up near the end, if Bird came up, that kid's a hitter, man. Kid's a superstar.
He has got a sweet.
He's a superstar.
They
would have won over. They sent a win in 91. They would have won over 100. I guarantee they would have had another 10
just
wins.
And just when you thought guys like C.C. Sabathia were playing their last games, he comes back from the dead. Forget last night. I mean, last night was unfortunately a disappointment. But, I mean, he had a lights-out year. And whatever you need, I think the Yankees were, 9-0 when he pitched the game after they lost. I mean, that's telling right there. That's sick numbers. And, you know, obviously he'll try to come back for one more year. So you figure in a couple of years they're going to have to get themselves an ace. They're going to need to get an ace pitcher. And in a couple of years they're going to have to start paying the Sanchez's, the Judges, the Birds, these guys, the big money. Right now they're only making $525,000 a year, which is, like, marvelous. You know, that's efficiency at its best.
Considering the Yankees, and they usually overpay for everybody, right?
They've come out and said, Hal Steinbrenner came out and said that next year he does not want to pay a luxury tax, which will be the first time since they've instituted a luxury tax that he will not pay it.
They always pay it every year, right? Exactly.
That's an amazing stat.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Look, Houston was red hot, and they like you said, but you know what put Houston over the top? Verlander. Mm-hmm. Verlander, Cy Young, Hall of Famer. That guy pitched lights out against the Yankees. He won those two games against the Yankees. He pitched lights out against us, against them.
All right, but you want to know, all right, guys, you want to know the real reason why Justin Verlander was winning?
Let's hear it.
Fox wanted Kate Upton on the screen. And the way she was jumping around in the stands, wouldn't you?
He's a lucky guy, right?
He is a very lucky guy. Absolutely. But obviously Tuesday night, game one in Los Angeles against the Dodgers.
I'm going for Houston all the way, man.
We talked off air, and I am always one of the tight, no matter what sport it is, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, I don't care. I always like to see the organization that has never won. And obviously, John, you may have heard this. Again, the Astros, it's the first time that a Major League Baseball team has represented both leagues in the World Series.
I think it's great.
That's right.
Of the move in 2002 to the American League. So, and again, remember, look at the Astros 2011, 2012, 2013. All 3 years, lost 100 or more.
Yeah.
And 4 years later,
they did the same thing with that young core. They had that young core.
It just shows you right there that you do not need to have a $250 million payroll like the Los Angeles Dodgers to make it to the World Series.
It's funny how Turner was a platoon player for the Mets, and the Mets said, you know, we don't really need you. He goes over to the Dodgers like an all-star.
Somebody
went home. He's from California.
He's a USC kid.
Yeah. He's home.
But they worked on his they tweaked his swing just a little bit. And that's that little bit of difference.
That kid's tearing it up. He's been tearing it up for a couple of years now.
See, now you know why they didn't take long as the manager of the Mets, right?
That's true.
They also got that kid Bellinger is going to win
Bellinger's,
the National League.
Dodgers always win the Rookie of the Year, it seems like every other year. Kyle Seager last year, Bellinger this year. Who's going to come up next year and do it?
The kid that
replaced Seager at shortstop, maybe?
That's good. You know, just think what Kershaw's going against, like Verlander.
Or Keuchel.
That's going to be a good series. It's going to be a good series.
But the kid last night threw five innings, shut up all 54 pitches.
Yeah.
That's all he threw in five innings, 54 pitches, and they got him out. And then McCullers goes the last four.
I was shocked that he was going to start
That he
him.
Kept him in.
I thought he was going to start McCullers from the beginning.
Oh, you mean, instead of Horton?
Well, yeah. It worked. Hey, it worked. It was a great, he did a good deal.
Well, again, it's good that you had a kid like that was able to come along and
Give the innings. Hey, look, they deserve
it. Guys, I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. This is breaking news. Justin Timberlake's going to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl. What do you think?
I guess they'll be turning that off.
It literally just came up on my tablet right now.
Tickle pink about that.
Why? What is the NFL? Oh, don't even get me started.
It's called money, John.
It's called money.
Well, actually, they showed the fans today in Miami. It didn't look packed. They I don't know if you were watching the Jet game today.
I did.
And at the end of the game, they did go. Going to the third to the fourth, they did show a lot of empty seats there.
So no, it's just people disguised as empty seats. Yeah. That's what.
But anyway, the Jets choked big time. Which my expectations for the Jets this year were actually when maybe going to win two or three games. I was very impressed with what they're doing so far, but they fell apart at the end of the game, and I can't get the Scots it over because I have no my hopes for the Jets this season were low anyway. I mean, you know, and the way they've been playing, I figured they were going to go in there and beat Miami, but hey, Miami came back
and you know
without Cutler, he got hurt.
Exactly, Cutler got hurt, and Moore came in and did and he did a fantastic job. I mean, very economical. You know, didn't do any crazy things, but, you know, I mean, their receivers were fantastic. You know, of course, I turned the TV off for 30 minutes in the fourth quarter, and they scored two touchdowns. So,
did
you want to blame me? I got my arm raised. My fault. My bad.
Did you see the field goal? The winning field goal?
The winning field goal? Yeah.
You did. You saw McGowan's interception.
I saw it. That's what, I turned it on with like 2.5. So, I did see the, you know, the tying touchdown.
And you're like, what has happened to our team?
But you know what? Again, as you said, my thought was they were going to win two.
Right.
For the year. They've got three. So already we're ahead of the game.
It's amazing.
I don't want to use the word surprised, but are you shocked at the way that Josh McCown has led this team? That these guys have taken on his attitude and taken on his stability? Curse has been a great addition to these guys.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He's helped Anderson. He's helped, I always forget his name, the tight end.
Jenkins.
Safarian Jenkins, right. He's been wonderful.
He got robbed last week. Even the NFL actually came out and said they made a bad call. That was a touchdown last week, and that would have tied. The Jets would have actually tied New England into that game and said they lost, but that was a touchdown. The thing that baffled me about that call, and everybody's been talking about it for a week now, is that how do you turn that ball over and give that ball to New England on the 20? I just don't know how.
That's
I don't know
rule.
Where the fumble came out.
That's a rule that's been in existence ad nauseum forever.
Back out of the end zone,
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's a rule that's been there for existence that's probably only been used. Maybe on the number of fingers on your one hand.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's unfortunate, but, you know, it seems to be that's always the way it happens for the Jets. But, again, they're 3-4. You know, they you know, obviously, would have, regardless of the fourth quarter blunder, they've played well. You can't ask, you know, if you told us, you know, on October 22nd, when you were saying on September 1st that we would be 3-4 now, would you think that?
No. And actually, if they would have won today, they could have been tied for first right now. So you don't know anything. You're 100% right.
Buffalo had a great start. They had a lead.
Yeah.
Today and Tampa got three touchdowns late in the fourth quarter. Winston then took them. So, you know, in the AFC East is amazing. I mean, you know, obviously New England does its usual thing, and
they're playing tonight. Is the Super Bowl rematch
right against the Atlanta Falcons? And
let's go,
Falcons are going to be ticked off after losing to Miami last week. I mean, that was a monumental upset. Another one. So you know, Ryan's not going to be happy.
Anybody in a knockout pool that took
Atlanta over
Miami. That was at home too. Atlanta was home that game, and Miami the Dolphins. Come in there, and the other guys that must have knocked out of the knockout pools, that's insane, man. It's crazy. It's been a crazy year this year with these upsets.
That's what does Chris Berman say? That's why they play the game.
That's exactly why they play the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But it just goes to show. Now, let's obviously, you know, the Giant game just ended. Giants lose 24-7, was it?
And, you know, who would have thought they'd be 1-6 seven games in, you know?
It's
kind of upside down.
Well, you know, they lost Marshall. I don't know if Marshall's out for the year, but Marshall's going to be out for a while.
Close.
And they lost probably the best, most exciting receiver in the league with Beckham.
Yeah. Well, that whole receiver core.
I wouldn't say best.
He's the most exciting. He could take a screen pass from the 5-yard line and go the whole house, 95 yards. He's exciting. He's an exciting player to watch.
I just wish his attitude would change
a little bit.
A lot of these football players have this kooky attitude. That's why they play the game.
But tell me, was Anderson's touchdown thing cool when he scored for the Jet game? He just basically just literally jumped into that luxury seat and just sat there and put his feet up and said and then got out. That was cool. I'm glad that the NFL relaxed that rule of celebration. You know what? It's like, why do you want to just let the guy enjoy the fact he scored? As long as he's not doing anything, you know, stupid, like T.O. used to pull out a Sharpie and sign the football, you know, or run out to the star or whatever. But, you know, that's a little too far. But, you know, let them enjoy the moment.
Who was the guy the other day who took out the – he held the football up like it was a phone?
He made a phone call.
Look, the bottom line, the football, the NFL is it's an entertainment thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's entertainment, and this is what people come to, go to the games. They want to see a guy score a touchdown. Like what Beckham did was look ridiculous a couple of weeks ago.
Lifting his leg
like a dog going to the bathroom. I mean, that was, you know, I don't understand the sense of that whole thing. But but some of these guys, it is entertaining. It takes a lot. Hey, these guys practice this stuff. It's like going to see a play.
It's like the WWE. Oh,
yeah,
wait, I shouldn't say
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Okay, change gears. Let's hit the other league, the league we love so much. I'm going to bring up something I just saw on NHL, on ESPN.com, on the NHL section. As many of you know, Puck Daddy has now left Yahoo, is now the lead writer for ESPN.com. Hopefully they're giving him a lot of money. And I'm going to try to see if actually we can get Greg to come on the show one of these days. He was on our old New York Hockey Report years and years and years ago. So I'm going to try to get him back. But he wrote an article yesterday about possibly bringing something back to the NHL. And, John, this is one time I think where you might be glad that you really can't see the games that much.
Why?
Because he's talking about bringing back the glow puck.
Why? Wow.
Remember, this was 20 years ago. Remember that? I mean, that was 1995 that it came out. And it was when Fox got the NHL, and they thought they could try to get, at the time, there wasn't a lot of southern markets in the NHL, just the Tampa and Dallas and Florida. So you were trying to get the southern influence into the game, and they obviously couldn't see the puck. So putting a little circuitry into it inside the puck and get it to glow on TV would maybe get fans to see it. Maybe that might be something to bring back.
Well, it only lasted like a year.
Two years.
Yeah, I know it didn't last for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying about possibly only bringing it back for things like All-Star Games or Winter Classics or, you know, stuff like that that's not necessarily important.
No, I won't see anything wrong with that, just trying it out like that. The Winter Classic outside.
If it helps
fan base. Right, a lot of people I know actually got into hockey in the late 90s because they were able to see that, you know, and then they obviously got into the games, going to games and that, and they see the game differently now.
That would help like an Ovechkin shot or with his 100-something-mile-an-hour shot from that face-off the right
for Ryan Pulock when he gets power play time.
Yeah, when he gets
exactly.
power play time.
But here's another thing let's talk about. The Vegas Golden Knights. NHL expansion team franchise to win 6 of their first 7 games.
This is incredible, right? Yeah,
it is. And you know what? I mean, there are named players on this team, but think about it now. They're on their third goaltender.
Yeah.
Fleury got hurt last week.
Yeah.
Malkin Subban got hurt last night after 37 saves in 2 periods. And so they said as soon as they saw it, he blew his groin out. So he's going to be done. So they're on their third goaltender. They got rid of Calvin Pickard. They sent him to Toronto before the season started.
Now,
but they're still winning.
Now, what happened to Fleury? What was his name?
What was Fleury's thing?
I'm not sure. Actually, I'm going to look it up right now. But yeah,
I don't know if anybody saw the home opener for Vegas. That was incredible. You know,
well, he won the game for them. He was insane, right?
Are you talking about before the game? Or
The pre-game festivities. That was one of the best tribute things that I've ever seen
done.
Yeah,
the Vegas to Vegas. Yeah, that was actually very good.
How is Vegas? Because I don't.
They're drawing.
Oh
yeah,
They got 13,000 season ticket holders. So they, you know, you got to remember that area. The people that live there full time, they're all transplanted Californians. They're transplanted Northeasters.
Right, of course.
So you know they're going.
Plus, all the tourists want to go see the game. Let's go see the game.
I would.
So would I.
I would go to Vegas just to see that.
Yeah, there's no timetable on Fleury's injury and when he's going to be fully cleared. So
that's actually pretty good for us because we're playing on the 30th here.
We are.
It's going to be pretty exciting.
It's going to be, yeah. I mean, they played their first two on the road and they played 4 out of 5 here. So they've been basically local. They've been, you know, in the Western, you know, time zone in California and Vegas, and now it's going to be their first trip out east. So obviously big test for them. You know, and they're getting it done with third and fourth line guys. You know, and the occasional star play, I mean, James Neal has been probably their best performer so far.
Thankfully, I picked him up in the hockey
fantasy draft.
Yeah,
right
before the season started, I grabbed him in one of my leagues. I'm like, oh, he's still out there? Let me get him.
I'll tell you what, the Kings shocked me, too. The
Kings are the only undefeated team in the league so far.
They're playing fantastic.
Well, they just lost Jeff Carter to a serious injury for significant time. They had this other kid that's come up and had 5 or 6 goals already. Quick is back to being the Jonathan Quick of old.
He's healthy.
So I think this might be my phone call. Jim's on the line. Jim, you're on Sports Talk 1240. What's going on?
Oh, other than the fact that I'm sitting here watching, having seen the Islanders beat up on the Sharks a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, it's...
Don't worry, the bruises will heal.
Oh, yeah. God.
Sorry about that something. Facebook post if you saw the picture of the Islander carrying a shark over him.
Oh, God, yeah, I did. Hey, I got to tell you, that Bailey goal, the first time I saw it, I thought it was amazing.
Sorry, I got to interrupt you because
is this
my partner,
a setup question here?
No, it's not a setup
setup call here. Come on now, this Josh Bailey.
Yeah, but
thing.
Then the second time you look at it on replay, it's just, it just gets more amazing. This thing's got to be one of the 10 best goals of the year in the league. By
I agree with you with that. I do agree.
Jim, let me just tell you very nicely, the check is in the mail.
No, it was incredible how he went between his feet. I mean, he's no Connor McDavid either. But
well, again, he ripped. I mean, he expected Pavelski to block a shot, and he's known to do that. So he got around him, which was the first move. And then, obviously, Dell stood up at the net to prevent the shot to go over his shoulder. And when he had no room there, he said, I had no choice. I had to make that move. That's
like a John Tavares goal right there. I didn't know he had it in him to score a goal like that.
Now, Jim, Jim, your roommate told me, now is it true that somebody in San Jose won $100,000 for Couture's hat trick?
They've got this crazy promotion this year. It's similar to the one that they have for the Safeway Score and Win.
That they get five
Canada.
Goals, they get a million? Yeah.
Right, but they've done it in around here. It's nuts. Where if somebody gets 4 goals, you get a million, and if somebody just gets a hat trick, you get $100,000.
Wow!
So I'm figuring they've got to plan on giving away at least $500,000 this year. I mean, it's not that far fetched to think that somebody's going to use the team's going to score 5 hat tricks in the season.
So are you shopping in that store every single day now and buying the prize and everything else?
It's
a supermarket. No, I don't know if you've seen the Canadian market games, but Safeway. They'll announce somebody's name at the beginning of the game, and they'll say, if any player on that, like the Jets or whatever, if Patrick Laine happened to score 5 goals in a game or if the Matthews, that person wins $1 million.
That's beautiful.
And again, unfortunately, the person in San Jose gets $100,000, but about 60,000 people will take away in taxes. If in Canada, it's tax-free. They get $1 million.
How does that work?
What, Canada? Lottery games and all that are tax-free.
I got to play.
Yeah, but you got to remember the other thing in Canada, the way the exchange rate and stuff is right now, you probably need $1 million.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You're only getting about $3,000 U.S. Is that what you're trying to say? So, but, we have to, since you're on the line, Jim, we definitely have to say thank you for Martin Jones shutting out the New Jersey Devils the other night. That was a nice effort.
That was a great, he played really, really well. And
go ahead.
It's a game that the team needed badly, too. It's the first 5 games at home have really been, the first couple were just god-awful. Then they got better, then they kind of been up and down. And this team needed a road trip.
Right. And right now, all 3 of us that are sitting here are definitely going to be thinking teal and black and white on Monday. Is it Monday? Tomorrow or Tuesday?
No, it's Monday.
Tomorrow when they play the Rangers. So. But let me ask you this, Jim, and I know we talked about it on the previous show last month. How has the loss of Patrick Marleau, obviously you have an extremely veteran lineup there. So I don't think it's necessarily that is missing, but is there intangibles you think that may be missing since Patrick Marleau has left to move on to Toronto?
The third and fourth lines have really been the problem so far. They've just gotten no anything out of them, and certainly Patrick hadn't played on those at all.
No.
The hurdle hadn't given them anything at all. I mean, everybody was waiting for him to step up. And they're working him as the third-line center, and that just was a classic fail. He didn't start doing anything until they moved him up to the Couture line, and now he's playing left wing there, and instantly he takes off. So maybe it's a guy that just is not fit to be a center.
Right. Now, the biggest question that I know a lot of people were talking about at the Barclays Center last night, you know, just walking around the concourse in between periods, is Brett Burns putting, like, Viagra on his beard? Because I'm telling you, I think by January it's going to be down to his waist.
Oh, God, I'm just waiting for somebody to get a holding penalty by just grabbing onto that.
Yeah.
Dragging around the ice that way, you know. It's, oh, man.
So
you know,
it's not
something. He's been interesting to watch so far this year. Opposing teams have basically just been setting up everything. I mean, he can't get anything to the net right now. Everything's getting blocked.
But you know what I know? What I noticed, you know, and especially my seats were behind the net, and especially the two periods watching him go the other way. It's just he seems to have the. And again, he did it a couple of times. He has a propensity to have that 90-foot pass, tape to tape, almost perfect. Yeah, yes, they do tend to lean towards him a little more, but he can still get off that pass with a couple people on him, and
oh, yeah.
He threads an amazing needle. I mean, now that's something you don't teach. I mean, that's something that's inherent, and you know, it's amazing to watch him on a day. I'm sure it is on a day to day basis. It just sometimes blows your mind.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. It's just, you know, there's, you know, you're right. It's just, it's not something that's taught. It's just
something that just happens.
So, and
yeah,
then,
just,
real quick, we got to go.
And they gave Thornton a 1-year deal for $8 million or something like that, right? But it seemed like yesterday they were setting them up at the, when they had their power plays, they were just setting up Thornton to shoot the puck yesterday.
Yeah, and it's funny because Thornton, I mean, he did get his first goal of the year finally. Of course, that was an empty netter, but last year it took him, I think, 6 goals before he finally scored into a man net. But, you know, they were setting Thornton up. I think they were trying to set him up for passes, but he just, the power play this year has been very, very good, which is really the thing that they needed to fix, and they did fix it.
Right, but the problem is I think their 5-on-5 numbers have not been well.
Can you say pathetic?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, Jim, we got to get to it. We got to get to a commercial. But listen, I appreciate you.
Good luck
you chiming
year.
In.
Yeah,
we're rooting for you tomorrow, man. We're telling you, we are.
Anytime the Rangers lose, I'm happy.
Hey, have yourself a really good one, and good luck to the Islanders the rest of the way.
All right, thanks, Jim. I'll talk to you soon, bud. Take care.
I will say this though. I am getting a lot of enjoyment out of this. This Rangers are losing.
But we'll come to that after the break. Yeah, we'll definitely pay some bills when we come back. Again, if you want to give us a call, 631-888-8811 is the number. Gary, John, and John here with you on Sports Talk 1240, and we will be back in a couple minutes after we pay some bills.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240, WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Okay, Sports Talk 1240, Sunday, October 22nd, 2017. Gary Harding, John Panarich, John Sweeney, here with you for the next 90 minutes. We will take your calls if you want to talk about anything sports-related, any sport, any team, whatever, 631-888-8811 is the number. We're going to have Louis Tirado from thejetpress.com talking about the game this afternoon in Miami with the Jets falling to 3-4 after a last-minute field goal by the Miami Dolphins took the Jets down.
Giveaway.
We'll talk more about that in depth in the next hour. And then at 9:30, we're going to have Alan Fearing, the voice of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers of the American Hockey League, coming on to discuss the Baby Islanders with their 6-3 victory today over the Hartford Wolfpack, AHL affiliate of the New York Rangers. And speaking of the New York Rangers, the 2-5-1?
2-6-1.
2-6-1. Oh, sorry, my bad. I almost said 2-4-1. That would have been worse. But anyway, the 2-6-1 last in the Metropolitan Division New York Rangers. I think, what, 37 years since they've had a start this bad?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. Let's take off our Islander hats and let's put on our hockey hats. All right, we don't want to be disrespectful. And let's, you know,
why not?
I know. Derek's going to call.
Here's
okay.
The thing.
No, he's not. Let's. John, go ahead. I'll let you start.
You know, I for some reason I don't know why, but I just a lot of the pundits kept saying, "Oh, the Rangers are a better team than they were last season with all the moves they made," and I just kind of thought to myself, and you know, if Derek calls in, you know, whether he agrees or disagrees. I just didn't think they were going to be as good as they were last season. I didn't think they would start off with 2-6-1, and I still think that's a bit of an aberration. And I always get a kick, like, you know, you read these articles on NHL.com and other blogs, the New York Rangers season is done. And I'm like, you don't say that 10 games into the season.
No, you don't. You know, but there's a couple of things, obviously, that are glaring. Number one, I think the... You know, and it was because of cap-related issues. But to me, I always wish that Derek Stepan was on another team. I love the way he played. He was gritty, got in the dirty zones, would create great chances. Had, you know, for a big guy, was a decent skater. Played both ends of the ice. Could do a two-way game. And I realized as soon as that trade was made, and Antti Raanta also went to Arizona as well. I think that just upset the cart on the team.
Right,
the chemistry is so huge. It's such an intangible that you can't put a stat on. And that's what, you know, obviously, you know, pundits and everything will always use the stats. And they'll look and say, oh, yeah, you know, they did lose this, but they're picking up this, they're picking up this. But you know what? You know, unless you get to go into a locker room, you don't know what's going on. You know, right. And you don't see all the little things. And I think missing Stepan was the biggest mistake that Jeff Gorton has made as the general manager of the New York Rangers. I really do. I would have found a way. You know, but...
It's all business and money cut.
And then when you look, obviously, you look at the moves that they did make. And right now, I know it's 9 games in the season. You shouldn't really make this decision, but... Right now, judging by those first 9 games, Kevin Shattenkirk has been a disaster.
Yeah, which, again, was something I had said to somebody. I don't think, like, I don't understand why they were ready to have a parade in Manhattan. I don't think, you know, it's, you got to figure why did St. Louis prefer,
Pietrangelo
over him? Why were they willing to part with him? And why did, you know, it just, I'm not saying he's bad. By any stretch, but he's a liability sometimes on defense. It's kind of like the other guy the Rangers had that ends up, was he in Florida now?
Girardi?
No. The guy they picked up.
Oh, Yandel.
Yandel, that's it.
Oh, Yandel's still, and he's still, and believe me, I saw him play in Florida a couple weeks ago. He is still a liability.
Yeah, you know, puck giving up. You know, he's offensively.
But offensively, but I mean,
the way that the glaring incident was the overtime in the in the Pittsburgh game. He should have not have touched that puck because it was going to be a hand pass and it was going to go back out of the zone and no problem. He goes and touches it. Sidney Crosby does the smart thing. Back, hitting off of Lundqvist pads, boom, 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 goal, game tied, losing overtime. I mean, those are the kinds of things. You know, blown assignments. Ryan McDonagh, obviously a great captain, a great guy in the locker room. I know, the guys on the team love him, but, the blunders he's made, the blunders that they've made have been atrociously bad. And this is not the kind of an Alain Vigneault type team. Everybody knows I've been a Vancouver fan a long time. I love Vigneault when he was playing with the Canucks. He's a tremendous coach. He's a tremendous, worker of talent. And it startles me.
Well, how did they look again? I mean, they beat Nashville yesterday.
That's it. They came out strong.
Well, Nashville had their backup
goalie
in there. And they only, believe it or not, the Rangers only had 11 shots on goal. And they won that game.
4-2.
Yeah.
You saw the first period was a definite difference in the way they came out against the Islanders in Pittsburgh and in the past. So, obviously, it's been a lot of things. Oh, okay. All right, John. Hold your seat. We got Ralph calling in. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's happening?
Not much. What are you guys talking tonight? Hockey?
We've been jumping around. Actually, we've been talking about the guys that are close that you live closer to than we do. So.
Oh, those Rangers, that last place team over there.
we've been talking about we're trying to put on, not nasty hats. We're trying to look at it from an honest hockey standpoint, looking at the problems. Yeah. Obviously, the defense is a problem. We haven't even talked about. I'm not going to get into Lundqvist, but obviously his numbers have struggled a little bit. But I think a lot of it, honestly, is due to the fact of what we talked about. The defense has been really letting him down in front of him.
I hear Mark Stahl has not really is not what he used to be.
He's like a fourth line defenseman now. This guy.
He's a six guy.
That's what I mean.
He's a six playing 3 minutes.
Yeah. And he was number one, that guy. He always was number one. He was like number one or number two before.
Yeah, he slowed up. He's getting old. You can see the age is starting to creep in.
And then also when he hurt his eye, somebody said he has not been the same since happened.
That's Brian Berard, that.
Ralphie, what do you think about the Islanders on the move, baby?
The Islanders are looking good. But what make me upset on the Islanders? DeHaan and Bailey, they're the giveaway specialists lately. They give up a lot of pucks. What's up with that?
You're killing me.
DeHaan has been playing sloppy. Yesterday's game wasn't. He didn't play that bad.
The last three games, I think DeHaan has played so much better.
He's tightened his game up. I mean, the first five games, you could definitely say DeHaan. You could point the finger directly at him for goals that they've given up. But he's definitely got his crap together in the last couple of games.
And if you're looking, happen to look at the webcam, I am wearing a number 12 jersey. So watch what you're saying.
Well,
I don't say Bailey's bad, but I don't think he deserves to be on the first line.
He's not. He's on the second line.
All right, good.
He's on the second line. And he's playing not playing with JT and Lee. He still has 6 points.
Exactly. Right. So he's doing the same production that he's been doing with them, and he's doing it, again, with probably one of the most exciting kids in the NHL right now, Matthew Barzal.
Oh, that guy is great. And I don't know why they benched Hosang last night. I don't know what that was all about.
Hosang, the reasons being is that he was going around the Ranger game like a lost puppy dog.
That's not what they said on the radio.
Yeah, they're saying.
He said because he complained to Doug Waite that he didn't get enough time at the end of the Ranger game, and Waite didn't like him the way he was talking to him, so he's teaching him a lesson. That's basically what was said.
Exactly.
And you know what, I have to give credit where credit's due, though. That was a beautiful goal that Bailey had.
That was beautiful.
That's probably, one of the nicest goals so far this year that I've seen. Well,
without a doubt.
Butch Goring's reaction to it was just absolute,
off the charts.
He was amazed. Did you see all the alumni last night? All the old players there.
Did you run into anybody? Gary was at the game last night with his lovely wife.
Unfortunately, I didn't. No, we were on the other side of the arena from where they were. So.
Yeah, Brian Trotty showed up. No Bossy. I didn't see Bossy.
You will not see Mike Bossy at the Barclays Center. telling you right now.
Really?
There is a there. Really? To me, I again, I'm not speaking on facts, direct facts, but from people I talk to, there is a rift between him and the organization, and the fact that he's been shooting his mouth off in Montreal, saying that John Tavares is going to get traded. So,
really?
Yeah, he has opened his mouth too much. So he will, you will not see him in anything in the Barclays Center for the near future.
Oh, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
I knew there was something. And you hear the Barclays one more year after this, and I'm thinking they're opting in January. They're looking at Belmont Park.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We got a long ways to go before they make a decision. So we'll go along on that. Listen, we got another call in. I got to take
it. All right,
it.
You guys
take care, Ralph.
All right, Ralph. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Take
all
care.
Right. All right, guys. You glue T-seats?
Yeah.
All right, you glue T-seats. All right. Mm-hmm. Derek, what's up, man?
What are you three gorillas doing
here? Is this the voice of a last place fan?
Come on. Be nice to the man. He comes on our show.
If the intelligence level was high amongst the three of you, you would have invited me so you could have your little fish stick show and make fun of my team being in last place.
I'm not. Hey, have I made in front of your team, Derek? Have I made in front of your team?
Did I make fun either?
Bailey believer. Is that what you want to do now?
I'm not a Bailey. Hold on.
Is that what you've been reduced to on Facebook, trying to grab Bailey believers?
Who's a Bailey believer?
No, that was from? It's a guy that's going on our trip to a booster club that's going on our trip to Ottawa. He's got
You guys don't follow Gary Harding's post on Facebook?
I don't really frequent Facebook that often.
I don't follow anybody on Facebook. It's the president of the booster club, and that's his lovely wife. Even though she's
a
job. Hey, listen.
A nice show yesterday, so I saw a bunch of.
Hold on a minute. You guys played the Predators yesterday. It was a nice win for you with the backup goalie.
Thanks.
That's okay.
That's so comforting. Thanks a lot.
That was a good win with the backup goalie. Let me clarify this, though. Did I look at this right? Did you guys have 11 shots on goal and scored four goals? 4-2, you won? Was it only 11 shots you had on the whole game?
I don't know if it was 11 shots for the entire game, but early on they scored. You know, two in the first period. There weren't too many shots at one point, I guess. But it was a low shot total in general. I think Lundqvist only had 20-some-odd saves by the end of the game, and most of them were late.
Okay.
Made some big saves late, so.
So are you guys on the – did you turn the page? Are the Rangers on the move now? Let's hear your –
The Rangers are on the move. It's October. They got to dig themselves out of a hole that they created because they don't know how to –
By the way, the final
– games just interrupt home, apparently.
Just to interrupt, the final shots was 25-15.
It's 15 they had. 15. They only had 15 shots.
15 shots.
Yeah, 15. So
what's your assessment, Derek? What's been the biggest problem? Why are they where they are now?
Oh, the Rangers?
Yeah.
The biggest problem is their defensive play. Goaltending hasn't been sharp since the start. They've gotten down early in games. You know, you have 10 out of 13 games at home. They squandered a lot of home games. They lost four divisional games in a row. Start wherever you want, but most of it has to do with the sloppy play and the decision making on the defensive end. You know, they had a crew of six plus defensemen, and you thought it'd be strong coming in, but they've had a tough time finding their way. McDonough's had a very tough time. He hasn't played well at all.
Stahl struggled.
And for for all the experience that they have with this team, there's a number of new guys, but with all the guys that have been around for a number of years and all the playoff experience, I would say it's basically unacceptable what's gone on in terms of. Games that they lost, getting down early, and they had three games where they came back. And, they came back, took a lead against Pittsburgh, they lost the game at home in overtime. They came back against the Islanders, they lost in the shootout.
Earlier,
in the first week or so, they were down 5-1 against Toronto. I don't expect them to win that game down that early in a game, but they came back.
Yeah, they tied it
at 5, and then they lost. Right.
Yeah,
five.
I mean, the only negative thing I was saying all along, I just think Shattenkirk's been a disappointment. That's all I'm saying. And John said it right. What was St. Louis thinking when they got rid of him and sent him to Washington? You know, was it did they see something? I don't know. I mean, you got to admit that his play has not been the Kevin Shattenkirk you would have expected.
No, he's had some points, but the only disturbing thing to me is that I've seen a number of guys just walk right around him. You know, his defensive play I knew wasn't strong to begin with, but I've watched guys literally just walk around.
Yeah, by the way, guys, the number 12 here in my blue jersey walked around Shattenkirk the other night.
Yeah, but could it be because of Shattenkirk's playing home now and he's got a lot of pressure on him right now and he hasn't settled in yet with the team?
You want for the guy, but the bottom line is, listen, when Brian Leetch started out with the Rangers and through basically his career as a Ranger, you know, he wasn't the strongest defensive defenseman. That's why a guy like Boone playing with him. But the one thing that Brian Leetch did that compensated for his lack of defensive prowess was he put up points at an ungodly pace. I mean, the guy had 100-plus points 1 year, and he usually gave you 70, 80 points easily. So Shattenkirk, the Rangers are fortunate that he took a discount, and they didn't have to sign him for a ton of money. But in order to have you forget about his defensive play at times and his poor decision-making at times, he's going to have to put up a lot of points. That being said, I got to be honest with you, McDonough's been worse. He's been worse.
We blew that Pittsburgh game.
There's a guy in his late 20s, 27, 28 years old. He should be in his prime dominating. Those are just two guys. But that, a lot of that's gone on throughout the lineup. You know, Chris Kreider finally scored a goal yesterday.
Yeah.
His first goal of the year. That shouldn't have taken, you know, nine games.
Who's been the bright spot?
You know what? The year the Rangers went to the Stanley Cup, they started out 3-7. So do I really care at this point? No, that doesn't mean I'm happy with the way they're playing. But after watching the Jets play today, I don't even see at least.
I
could sit back and say, you know what? I'm not going to let it bother me because they're supposed to be bad. The Rangers are a different story. But I usually, you know, I give it 10 game increments with hockey because it's a longer season.
True.
But if you guys,
yeah, I agree.
So the Jet game, I'll tell you what, man, 14 point lead, and the way they lost that, if they had an owner that really cared about football and knew something about it, like, I'm just being honest with you. If I owned the Jets, I'm not saying I'm the most knowledgeable football guy out there, but I played up to college and all that. If I owned the Jets tomorrow, I would have either fired the head coach or let the quarterback go just because of what went on right in that last series, 45 seconds,
wasn't it?
Ball on your own 20 or whatever.
Derek, wasn't
you
it?
You don't throw in the flats.
I was just going to say.
The quarterback couldn't read the defense.
Wasn't it funny, Derek, that Spielman said exactly that thing 10 seconds before it happened?
Yeah, I heard him saying about, you know,
run the ball, get to overtime. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Run a play, and if you break it for a big one, then maybe, you know, listen, they had all three timeouts. If you really want to try at that point, that deep in your own territory, to get down the field and get into field goal territory, because their field goal kicker is very good, probably the best thing about the team right now, which is usually the case with the Jets anyway. But if you're going to do that, you don't throw the ball in the flat.
That was horrible.
You're not giving a cushion to your receivers. That guy just sat there and waited for it. You know, and the only thing I said to myself was, if they're not going to run, if they're going to throw the ball, at least run a play action. At least freeze them with a play action pass. He just dropped back.
To the running back.
And threw it into the flat. And the guy, you know, it almost reminded me of what Testaverde did back against the Ravens. Remember that one at the end of the 2000s?
Yes, I can't have me forget that.
I mean, what are you doing? You know what? But at least with the Jets, I tell you what, if this was a different year, a different Jet team, I'd be beside myself.
Of course, because our expectations weren't high for this team. And you know what? We could have been tied for first place right now. They got robbed last week against New England with the tight end's BS call.
Yeah, the BS call.
That call, and I don't even know how that ended up becoming a turnover, but whatever it is, it's done, That game right there, and today, that was a bonehead play. But my expectations weren't high going into the season.
I figured
they were going to win two or three games.
I know, but you know what? I've been tracking all these college quarterbacks through the early part, you know, where they play 7-8 games.
Donald didn't look good at all yesterday.
Nope.
The Jets are going to get a quarterback because none of these guys, Sam Darnold, none of these guys, this guy Josh Allen that plays in Wyoming, he looked horrible last night.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all these quarterbacks I'm watching, Mason Raymond, all these guys, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, none of them are excelling. So they're going to get a quarterback. So I don't care. So, you know, Watson last week, the Jets had a 14-0 lead. They had a good chance to beat the Pats, but what? They got not enough pressure, not enough hits on the quarterback. Today, they get good pressure on the quarterback.
They knock a quarterback out.
Probably cracked his ribs.
Yeah, that's what they say, two cracked ribs.
Comes in and leads a 14-point comeback for victory. You know,
unbelievable. You can't make it up.
This is the first time the Jets lost the game the way they did today with a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter since 1995.
25 years.
How old were you then, Johnny? You were a lot younger, weren't you?
Yeah. Hey, let me just I want to clarify one thing with the Rangers real quick, okay?
Go ahead.
If you give me a minute. And I said this before. I said in the beginning of the year. I still believe this anyway. The Rangers are in last place and everything. But I still believe the Rangers are going to compete for the Stanley Cup.
A month from now,
the Rangers are going to – it's still going to be the Rangers, Washington, Pittsburgh, probably Columbus, and us will be fighting for that last spot.
That's why I laughed. I read this article. Somebody was saying the Rangers are done. And I'm like, what is wrong with this?
They're far from done. The Rangers
Yeah.
Well, the Rangers are still going to be competing
defensively and as a team. Yeah, they would be done. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's the thing. Look, us Islanders, we're hopefully going to make the playoffs. I say this all the time. We're trying to get to the playoffs. I love the way the team is it's going this year, the young kids and everything else like that. I think we got a really good shot of going into the playoffs and going deep into the playoffs this year if we make it. It's still
going
to
really
come
going
down.
Deep?
You guys are going, well, we haven't done it ever.
Is your team signed John Tavares yet?
No. But I'm saying is I like the nucleus of the young team, but I'm saying it's two different. You guys are going to compete for the cup, and I think you're still going to be there. You're going to go deep into the playoffs. There's just a little blip into the as long as Hank, your Hall of Famer, stays healthy, you're going to be fine.
That's the one thing.
I like Barzal.
So do I.
I like Barzal, and
he's
I like Hosang in terms of the young
but
guys.
I think
everybody
the Islanders are going to surprise some people, and they're going to get that last spot.
What do you mean they're going to surprise? First of all, they made the playoffs 2 years ago, and you see they missed the playoffs because they got off to a horrible start.
Right.
Like you said, eight wins in the first 20 games.
We already have four now. And was it seven games we played?
Eight games.
Yeah.
The only big mistake right now that the Islanders are making is that they keep letting days pass without signing Tavares.
I agree.
Because that guy has already held the leverage for God knows how long, and I don't know what your owners are waiting for on that one. And then you're going to wind up getting nothing if things go wrong. Imagine if that guy gets hurt, or imagine. If your team just muddles the way it is, makes the playoffs, doesn't make whatever it's going to be, and they go into what? Past the holidays, into March, April, and they don't sign them? What kind of a theory is that on how to handle your superstar franchise player? I don't get it.
I agree. And no, I'm going to say he's the face of the team right now. I mean, he has been. I mean, he's the draw. People come in.
You got to look at it this way. Tampa Bay had a lot of trouble signing Stamkos until the very,
honestly, I don't even take that chance. I mean,
John,
Tampa Bay. Here's my problem when people bring up other guys. Like, I don't fans use that as good leverage. Like, oh well, look, they waited on Stamkos. But look at Tampa Bay, John. Kucherov is a superstar. Victor Hedman is a first, second team all-star defenseman.
Yeah, right.
He's not the only superstar on that team. Now, I like Barzal, and I like Hosang. For your sake, the three of you, I hope they turn out to be really good players. But outside of John Tavares, you cannot sell me that you have one superstar or top-level all-star on that team. You can't factually prove it. And that's my issue with not signing. It'd be like the Bears not giving Walter Payton a big contract when he first came up in the early 70s. Before they got good in the 80s with the Bears defense. That's what I equated to, something like that.
I mean, Lee's a good player.
I think you're overlooking Anders Lee. I think he's the real deal.
He's a good hockey player, but he's not a guaranteed first, second team all-star or an all-star.
No, I agree with you. Tavares is a first, second team all-star.
Like Nelson, Brock Nelson and Anders Lee, they each had one guy was good 2 years ago, the other guy was good last year. Look, those guys have not given you, like, three. They aren't bona fide 30-goal scorers guaranteed.
I think Anders Lee is going to score at least 40 goals this season.
Yeah. Right, but he has to do it. He's starting it already.
If he stays healthy, that's the important thing about Anders Lee because of the style of game he plays. It's like Chris Kreider. You know, you're always in traffic. You know,
right, you wouldn't be seeing me sitting here. Oh yeah, Chris Kreider, he's a superstar. He should be a superstar power forward.
He has all the potential.
He has the tools, right?
I said it before, if he had Zuccarello had his size, Zuccarello would be one of the best top four or five players in the league right now. If he had Kreider's size and ability, Zuccarello is just a tough.
I just think the whole thing with Tavares was a mistake. Is. And at this point, I wouldn't be shocked if he just didn't sign.
But here's what
I think. I think the guy's extremely mature. He carries himself in a great way. I think he's great. And I think he's, he might not be one of the top 5 or 10 hockey players in the league, but he's up there.
Yeah.
He's in the top 20.
But I just
don't see the logic in what they're doing with him. That's all.
Yeah, no,
I harp on it, but.
You're 100% right, and once he signs a contract, maybe he'll start stepping his game up a little more. You can't even complain.
To me, he's always looking at him in the locker room. You could always tell what kind of a game he's had by the look on his face because he carries it with him so much. He's got so much baggage on his shoulders. He's literally trying to carry all 20 guys on his back.
It's not easy. I told you guys 1,000 times. Lemieux, as great as Mario Lemieux was, he was nothing until they surrounded him with a Hall of Famers.
It took Brian Trottier to teach him how to win a cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand about
look at all the guys they brought in, like Brian Bowman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They brought in a bunch of guys. Paul Coffey went there. Larry Murphy went there.
I mean, if I was the owner of the Islanders, I would be like, all right, here we go. All right, we just threw a number out. We put this to the press. We just offered John Tavares $9 million, and he didn't accept it. But we offered him $9 million. Maybe he's going to get 10. But we offered him $9 million. They didn't even come out and say – no one's come out and even offered this guy anything. They did the same thing to –
Well, remember, he's come out and said in so many words, I'm not putting any – I don't want any of this stuff in the press. I want it all internal. I don't want it out. So, you know what? He's kind of controlling the cards, too. He doesn't want all this stuff out in the public. He's already said it straight out. Nothing will come out until either something is done or he goes.
No, he carries himself with class and dignity. I like the guy.
Yeah.
I like the kid. He's been clutch for them. He's, you know, that one playoff series you won, he was big time in that.
Yep.
Because they got outplayed by Florida overall.
Of course.
He made some big plays and got the big O2.
And Grice played the sun on his head, and Florida choked. Yeah, I agree.
You know, not for nothing, because you guys got guys and they find, you know, we can score some goals, and your team does find ways to put pucks in the net. But defensively, I got to be honest with you, as bad as Shattenkirk is, for the money they signed Boychuk, I ain't seeing much out of him. I'm disappointed in the way Boychuk has played. I like Letty.
Letty's the best defenseman on the team.
Some of the young guys got to grow up, but Boychuk, I don't know why that guy doesn't find a puck ball, because
he's the only one with 100.
All right, so before we got to go to commercial, let's just look at the schedule. Let's look at the schedule. Tomorrow night, you got the San Jose Sharks. Two games in New York. Hopefully, you get them on a little bit of a down note. Then, obviously, Arizona comes in.
That's a win also.
The return for Derek Stepan. They give him a little tribute on the board. I think he deserves it.
What is this, Mike and the Mad Dog, we're going to do? That's a win. They're going to win them all.
Okay, and then Montreal Saturday. Better win up there.
That's another win.
And then Vegas.
That's a win also.
Okay. All right, so mark it on your book. You got your book here.
He said four
in a
row.
Derek just put four in a row.
We'll be 6-5-2 by next Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
All right, Derek.
We'll let you go. Thanks for calling, man.
Good call.
You got it. Enjoy your little trip above us right now.
We're talking Jets next half hour, so, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I know. Say a prayer. God. Thanks, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
You too.
All right.
Oh, that was always interesting. Yeah. No, it was good. But you know what? Well, let's see if they go 4 out of 4. We'll have to mark that down, and we'll have a little conversation on Twitter if that's the case.
I mean, they're winnable games except for you don't know what Vegas that deals with Vegas and Montreal.
You know what? From what I hear, somebody said on Twitter last night that they said Carey Price is walking around the Montreal dressing room the way that Patrick Watt did the day that he decided to say, I want out of Montreal. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Mark Bergeron's got it pretty tough time. And I don't know if you've ever read the papers up in Montreal, but, man, if you don't win up there, you're in deep doo-doo.
And they're not scoring goals. No. I mean, all, you know, with Jonathan Drouin and you know, and you know, what's his name, Alex Galchenyuk is not.
Galchenyuk is on a fourth line right now. Yeah, it's not. It's
not pretty.
I'm sure Claude Julien would like to be back in Boston right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's end this hour of the show. When we get back in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have Louis Tirado from thejetpress.com, and we're going to talk a little J-E-T-S, Jets, that little tough loss today, and what's going to be happening with the Jets in the next couple of weeks. And then at 9:30, Alan Furey from the Bridgeport Sound Tigers radio voice will be joining us to talk about the Baby Isles. 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to go. Gary, John, and John, Sports Talk 1240. We'll be back.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.